in being a disciple of Christ Jesus against the whole wide world. Remember, they didn't hear as we about Jesus. This was a new time. This was a new concept. This was something totally fresh, totally new. It's not like today or modern times. And Paul is writing to these new Christians in Ephesus. And he is saying this, and this is so important. It's so important for us for today. Yeah. I want to read it, this prayer. One of the most beautiful prayers ever prayed. Ephesians 1, verse 15 to 23, 24. It is because I have heard about your faith in Jesus Christ and your love to all God's consecrated people. And this is why I'm praying for you, says Paul. Verse 15, Ephesians 1. Because I heard of your, firstly, your faith in Christ Jesus. Remember, they could have believed in anything else. In anything else. But they were convinced by the power of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have a Bible as we have a Bible. They didn't have churches. They didn't have preachers. They didn't have evangelists. They didn't have a radio pulpit. They didn't have this. And Paul, he's writing to them and he's giving them a prayer for the church. And he sets out the marks of the church. Why? He says in verse 15 of Ephesians 1, because I have heard of your one faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Faith in Jesus Christ. And secondly, I've heard of your love to all God's consecrated people. All God's consecrated people, not only to your church, to your congregation, to your little cell group, to your little fellowship group, to you, but to all of God's consecrated people. So Paul is saying, I'm praying for you because I heard, one, you have faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, you love all God's people across all barriers. Sloosh. And that is the reason I'm praying for you. And this is the true mark of a Christian, to have faith in Jesus Christ and to love all people across all barriers, all God's consecrated people. It reminds you of what Jesus said to those Pharisees when they cornered him and asked him, now, if you are the Son of God, tell us, what does it all come down to in the Old Testament and all the prophets and the law? And Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. And who is your neighbor? Every other person who crosses your path today, across all barriers. And there's no net bar, so by if ons in die ek duik, to use that Afrikaans. This is where we get it so wrong in so many cases. Okay, this is why he says, I'm praying for you. He says, I have never ceased to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. It is the aim of my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom. And the spirit of wisdom, it's spelt with a capital S. It's the Holy Spirit of wisdom. Sophia, the Greek word. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which brings you new revelation That is the depth of this wisdom. It brings you new revelation. And to understand the word revelation, he uses in the Greek text, it's not new things into the future. It is that revelation. What he said in verse 15, revelation of your faith in Jesus Christ, what it means, how you can live it. And secondly, a revelation that you ought to love all of God's consecrated people. And that is the depth of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit which brings you new revelation as you come to know Him more and more fully, says Ephesians 1. It is the aim of my prayers that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Hey, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what hope He's calling has brought to you. What wealth of glory there is in our inheritance as faith inheritors among the saints. What surpassing greatness there is in His power to us who believe with a belief which is brought by the might of His strength. That power which brought Jesus Christ to raise Him from among the dead and set Him at God's right hand in heavenly places. That's the power. That's the revelation you will have. That you have the same power in you as the same power that rose Christ from the dead. When He rose from the dead, that same power that raised Him from the dead is in you. That same power who set Christ at God's right hand in the heavenly places, it's in you. Above every rule and authority and power and lordship, above every dignity which is held in honor, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And God subjected all things to Him, and He gave Him as head above all to the church, which is His body. The church, which is His complement on earth. The church, which belongs to Him, who is filling all things in all places. What a prayer! Ephesians 1. Verse 15 to 23, and the supremely important part of this passage of scripture, it's not a motivation by someone. It's not something that you must earn. This is what the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, only He can enlighten the eyes of your heart to see. This is what it all boils down to. And the supremely important part lies at the very end of this passage in Ephesians 1 verse 15 to 23. And that is faith in Jesus Christ, that He is the only Son of God, and by His grace I come to God my Father. Secondly, to love every other consecrated godly man and woman across all barriers. Now look at me. Who's the church? The church isn't the building on the hill or the big auditorium or the place where the organ and the church bell is, or the place with the big stage and the huge band and where we worship and sing. We call it the church, but the church, it's you and me, We are the body of Christ. We are the church. We are the kingdom. And we ought to have faith in Jesus Christ. And we ought to love one another, said Jesus himself. And here Paul tells this new, fresh congregation in Turkey. And remember, they didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a church. They didn't have WhatsApp groups, and they didn't have social media. They didn't have television. They didn't have YouTube. They didn't have radio pulpit. They didn't have gospel songs. They didn't have anything. All they had was faith in Jesus Christ. And they had a love for one another. And Paul heard about this, and he gives them the marks, the characteristics of the true church. And the two things which must characterize any true church are loyalty to Christ and to love your fellow man across all barriers. That is the two things, says the Bible. Not radio pulpit, not me, not a theologian, not a motivational speaker somewhere. Not a pastor, not a doormany, not no one, but the Bible. Get back to basics. Get back to what characterizes you and me as Christians. Loyalty to Christ and love to fellow man. This is a loyalty to Christ which does not issue in love. This is a loyalty. And true Christian loyalty is found in the love for Christ Jesus and love for fellow man. What a word. And then just after Freedom Day, yesterday, the 27th of April, South Africa celebrated Freedom Day. Yeah. And I nearly cried when I thought about Freedom Day. Because in many ways, the church in South Africa, forget about the world for a moment. In many ways, the church of South Africa, across all barriers, all denominations, you will find chapels of hate and grim conceptions of who and what the church is. And yet we want to be free in Christ Jesus. Huh? We hate the liberals. We hate the radicals. We hate everyone who doesn't think like us. We hate the fundamentalists, on the other hand, or those who are obscure. We hate the theology that is different from our own. We hate the Roman Catholic Church. We hate the Protestant Church, on the other hand. We hate the evangelical churches. We hate the Reformed Church. We hate the Charismatic Church. And so you can continue. There's so much difference. We make pronouncements which are characterized not by Christian charity and love and kindness and mercy, but by a kind of condemning in bitterness, the other one. Look at what's happening. You know, every time when I read the news about rape and murder and hate and whatever it is, terrible statistics in South Africa, huh? It's a shame on the government. And it's a shame on us who votes for those who are in authority, not checking if these people are Christians who love Christ Jesus, and secondly, who loves their fellow man. And therefore, yes, we just celebrated Freedom Day, but who is free? Yesterday when I drove past Khayelitsha and Langa on the N2 going into Cape Town to preach in Wynberg Church, where I preach on a Sunday morning, and I see all the hardship in the informal settlement homes next to the N2. I see children playing next to the N2 with soccer balls, makeshift soccer balls. There's no money to buy a good soccer ball. And they're playing in the dirt next to the N2 because there's no place to play for these children. Huh? And we want to be church. We want to be radio pulpit even. We want to be who we are. Where's our Christian charity? And still we find time with a condemning bitterness to go at each other's throat. I hate the Roman Catholic Church. Even over the weekend when the Pope was buried, just go and look at social media. I hate the Protestants, on the other hand, other people will say. I hate the charismatics, look what they are doing. I hate the Reformed churches, they are full of tradition. I hate the evangelicals, and so you can continue. Pronouncements, oh, I want to travel to Limpopo. And just look at all these buses. These buses going to Zion, the Zionists. And I moan and I groan at the toll gate. Where are we? After more than three decades of so-called democracy. Yes, what we had in apartheid was bad. And yet today, I drive past Khayelitsha Langa yesterday, and I see the hardship. I see the poor of the poor, and the poorest of the poor. I had a man at my door on Saturday morning, knocking and asking, "Sir, could you help me, please? I have a family. I live in the township in this," and he said, "which town? Can't I just cut your grass or wash your bucky? I need money for mealy meal, just to feed my children." And it came to me, I'm the Duomini. I'm the one on radio pulpit talking and preaching. Here, this man doesn't know who I am. He just knocks at my door. He knocks at all the doors. And people chase him away. And those people who chases him away are the people who sat in church yesterday morning. Yeah. "Sir, please, can I cut your grass or wash your old bucky or do something? I just need money to buy some mealy meal to feed my family." And I thought, this is Freedom Day. This is South Africa. This is the church. And we want to be Christians in church and singing, "We will worship you," and praising the Lord, singing, "Come on, now's the time to worship." And on the other hand, even over the weekend, while the Pope was buried. Just go and look at the social media. And on other days, other people will talk about the Protestants or the Reformed churches or the Charismatics or the evangelistic people or whatever church it may be. And yet, we want to be free. Let's get back to what the character is, the mark is of the true Christian church. Paul said, I heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, and I heard of your love to all God's consecrated people. And therefore I never cease to give thanks for you, the church in Ephesus, as I remember you in my prayers. It is the aim of my prayers that the God of our love, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom, the spirit which brings you new revelation of how to have faith in Christ and how to love your fellow man, how to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your fellow man as yourself. This is the aim of my prayers, that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened. And the Greek words which he used here is ophthalmos, tois kardia, and literally meaning the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your inner spirit, that you may see, that you may know what this hope entails in your calling. You stand in the inheritance of the wealth of the glory which surpasses the greatness. There is in you the power, the same power that brought Christ from the dead to the living and put him on God's right-hand side in heavenly places. And God subjected all things to him. And God gave Jesus as the head above all to the church, which is his body. The church which belongs to him, who is filling all things in all places. Ephesians 1. And it not only makes one thing, it ought to bring us back to who we are, the church, across all barriers, across all denominations. May the Lord God Almighty enlighten by his Holy Spirit me and you, because we are the body of Christ. Father God, have mercy in Jesus' name over our country, and use us as your church to be disciples of Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen.